Lately, you know,
tired of your wicked
you ain't nothing. You know, if you don't straighten up, a man upstairs is gonna upset you.
Bishop Cliff Butler and Brother Joe Thomas, this old world swallowed up by modernism, the 1970s variety. What's the original label?
Sensational Sound.
Sounds,
sorry, plural. Sometimes sounds. He has an S and sometimes not, but that was on Sensational Sounds. Yeah.
All right.
That's Joe Thomas's label. Yeah.
All right. The voice you hear there is Darcy Thompson, our guest for this evening on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU. And Darcy and his colleagues at the Louisville Story Program have created an amazing box set, 4-CD set, 1958 to 1981, a survey of gospel music in the often overlooked Louisville gospel community. A very vibrant gospel community it was and is, but it's also embedded in the communities and neighborhoods of Louisville, and the Louisville Story Program has given a context to this box set. I'm glad about it. It's an amazing book, photographs, and all manner of documentation. We have links to the Louisville Story Program on our webpage. Also, some groovy scans of the covers and some relevant photographs. And you get there by going to WFMU.org, click on the playlist and comments, and you will see it there right in front of you. We will tell you real quick, we're going to have Darcy Thompson on this week and next week. Playing cuts from this amazing box set, 4 CDs. We'll concentrate on the first 2 CDs this week, and we'll finish up with 3 and 4 next week. That'll give you time to tell your family and friends to listen in next week. Darcy, welcome in to the Sinner's Crossroads Sanctuary.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of the set.
Well, back in about October of 2021, we began this process of, trying to understand what is the history of gospel music in Louisville? What records, what recorded output is there that documented a little bit of all the amazing things that people were doing back in the day? And it was around that time when we first met with Reverend Charles Kirby, who is still alive. He just had his 96th birthday.
Wow.
And put out a lot of, he was a lot of things in our community. He built up this amazing church called Southern Star. He was the president of the Kentucky Christian Leadership Conference for a while in the 70s. Did a lot of great things in our community in terms of activism and civil rights, but he also was a renowned gospel singer. So we just started we do various at Louisville Story Program, a bunch of community-based documentary projects. So, and everyone's really interconnected in Louisville. So we started asking around. And so there was sort of two-pronged. One, pretty quickly realized looking for the music and looking for the people, they don't overlap always. And so we just kind of began asking around just over time, seeing who said, talk to this person, talk to this person.
Yeah.
And so both finding music and then saying, well, who is this? Does anyone remember these folks or this person? And then hearing the stories people are telling and looking for recorded output for the folks that they were talking about. So we spent a long time, almost 3 years now, hanging out with people, started to go to a lot of quartet programs locally. It's still a vibrant community around that here in Louisville. Very much structured the way they were doing it in the 40s.
Wow, that's rare.
And so, over time, just hanging out with lots of people. And for a project like this, time is sort of the most valuable ingredient. The more you can take your time, the better. And so we've had the good fortune of being able to take our time. And it's been really gratifying, and I love Louisville so much, and I learned so much about this along the way. And so it's been a long journey. There's still recordings to find and to preserve. There's stuff in people's houses, and so we're not done. But this is our start of it for us. Yeah,
the songs on the set just represent a selection of what the story program is collecting and archiving and making available. Right.
Right. We've probably come across about 900 songs off mostly 45s, LPs, things like that, all from that vinyl era, mostly pre-1980.
Yeah.
And so we are building a digital archive that we're launching on September 28th at the same time as the box set, that's free and open to the public. We're putting everything, but the music, they're just raw transfers. They're not restored by an engineer or anything. We're also putting a lot of photographs and videos, all that stuff. And that's a place where the gospel community can keep adding things. As all of this rolls out, a lot of things start happening in the community, things are going to emerge. And that's, we won't have to say too late, we've done our thing.
Yeah, we
can put this. And so the 83 songs on the box set, selections from all of that that have been lovingly restored and remastered by Jessica Thompson Audio out in Berkeley. Mm-hmm. She did a lot of the awesome tapes from Africa stuff, and just super talented engineer and amazing to work with. And so they're just the tip of an iceberg. And then there's so much that people talk about that just groups had never ever recorded, you know? So we got some of those stories in the book to honor them, some images, when there isn't music necessary to honor them.
The voice, you just heard Darcy Thompson of the Louisville Story Program. We are highlighting the wonderful gospel music of Louisville. I'm glad about it. 4-CD box set that will be out officially
September 28th.
September 28th.
And it'll be available worldwide. So if you have a listener outside the U.S., we do have worldwide distribution through Light in the Attic.
Yeah. I've absorbed it, but I'm still reeling from it. It's really, playing gospel music, not having it attached to the community, the church, the people. You really, I guess all music is like that in a way, but really with this type of community gospel music, it's just a part of this whole context. And that's what's really cool about the Louisville Story Program, is that, you guys have added all this context that makes this gospel music. I mean, it's so rich with lyrically, musically, the stories of the musicians, the people who write the songs, the people who recorded the songs, and you've captured all that. What's the next selection you have?
Okay, if I'm up next, I feel like it might be nice. This is kind of a good introductory type song by the Junior Dynamics. God is Using Me. Just a little bit about them. So they were like the Jackson 5 of gospel music at a time when there really weren't people their age making it big. And they were like 11, 12, 13 years old. Started these three brothers, the Bentley brothers, whose father, Frank Bentley Sr., was the pastor of Lamentations Baptist Church here in Louisville. Added in, built up a whole group. Here in Louisville, our biggest historic Black newspaper called the Louisville Defender, is now 91st year, still a publication every week. They would organize this giant event called the the Louisville Defender Home Show and Exposition. It was like the biggest event of the year in the Black community. There was all this stuff. And the most popular part of it all was a gospel singing competition every year.
Yeah.
And in 1968, these kids perform on that, just completely mesmerized the crowd. They win the competition. The local gospel radio station, a guy named Little David Anderson, made a recording. He played it on the air for a couple of weeks, and they just blew up. And part of winning that is they got this record deal where Jubilee Records, which out of New York, recorded an entire album and a full LP, and they recorded it live at Lamentations Baptist Church. And so there aren't a lot of recordings from that era that are like live, where you can feel like you're in the room and hear what it's like being there.
Right.
This song gives you the feel, gives you the sense of how old Leroy Elliott was in this, 12 years old or so. He went on to become a very famous preacher. By the way, thank you to the state of Alabama for giving us Leroy Elliott. And many other of our gospel greats. So many. That's the pipeline. Part of the creation was Alabama to Louisville. So this this song, I think, is really great because it's kind of the beginning of that set. So you kind of get welcomed into church with this song.
Excellent. The Junior Dynamics.
God is using me.
The Junior Dynamics. God is using me. Harold Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU.
We're so glad to be here this evening at this great program featuring one of Louisville's greatest groups, the Mighty Junior Dynamics. Coming to you this evening from the Lamentation Baptist Church, corner of 15th and Oak Street. Let us give the Junior Dynamics a real big hand as they come to us at this time.
Folks, let the church say amen. Folks, Jimmy said again. We Dynamics are glad to be in your midst tonight, knowing that nobody brought us but God. And that's why we are coming here tonight to say we want God to use us in their service. That's why when you see me walking right, and when I done suffered all night long, giving up the right for the wrong, God is using me. When you see me walking right,
oh!
gospel motivators motivating us all. Here on Sinner's Crossroads this evening on WFMU with our guest Darcy Thompson of the Louisville Story Program and their magnificent production. We have links to the story program as well as a box set, relevant photographs that will enlighten you much more. And Brother Darcy, tell us about those two tracks.
Well, I told you a little about the June Dynamics already. So the second one, though, the Gospel Motivators, this is a church group out of the Church of God Sanctified here. One of the organizers of this is a woman named Wilma Claiborne. She's on the keys there. And she is really, really significant in our community because she goes way, way back in the choirs and choruses community and very involved with Thomas Dorsey's National Convention of Gospel Choirs and Choruses nationally, still serves on the board.
Wow.
But she ran one of the three big gospel record labels here in Louisville called Grace Gospel Records. And her husband together, and her husband died really young in the early 70s. So then she was a woman on her own running a record label. She had a gospel record store, and all while raising kids as a single parent and being an award-winning high school biology teacher.
Oh, man.
And doing a whole lot for the Dorsey Convention and that whole network nationally. So really remarkable woman, and she's still with us. And so she's one of the main authors of the book. She has a big long chapter, and she really knows her history of gospel music and is a huge, huge influence here. And her grandson, Jason Claiborne, is a very successful in the, you know, the modern style of gospel.
Yes. Singing.
He's been Grammy nominated as a writer.
Yes.
But so they're five generations of gospel music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you touched on it right there. One of the strengths and beauties of, I say box set, there's a fold out that holds the four CDs. And then there is just this amazing book with information on the artists and the songs that are played. But as you touched on, most of the essays are written by people from the community themselves, right? Ms. Claiborne, her essay on Thomas Dorsey is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And also,
we need to hear their stories, and we need to hear them directly from them.
Yes.
And it's, yeah, so this is about a 200-page book, and it's really almost 20 people have kind of long chapters kind of getting into, just to give a sense of give a three-dimensional picture, just kind of life here. And then there's sort of kind of a sections, kind of track listing, artist info as well. It's their legacy, it's their stories to tell. Obviously, there's some people who knew a lot who are no longer here, but there's a lot of elders that we were able to link arms with in this project. And it's very rewarding to listen to them and their work, and and of course listen to the music too. But at Louisville Story Program, we're all about context. What's the story? So we can't do a music project without a big long book to really ground it in the context of the community that developed this legacy.
But in a pretty good world, this will be the template for like projects in cities across the country, north and south, east and west. Having grown up in the church, you know, the stories of people who go to church, or the stories of people who don't go to church but are connected to the church, the music, all these things, and sometimes caricatured, dismissed, trivialized, and to take these songs out of that context opens it up sometimes for certain types of misinterpretation and then manipulation. Yeah, if you don't get a copy of this, brothers and sisters and beloved, I'm talking to everyone listening to the sound of my voice, I will personally come and burn down your house. Well, let's go back to the music.
Well, I'm going to go with the Religious Five Quartet.
I love this.
They are they started here in Louisville around 1937. They are still around.
Wow.
The guy named C.W. Sharp managed the group from about 1940 until he passed away in 1985. And since then, his daughter, Linda Sharp, has been the manager. So in all that time, two managers. C.W. Sharp was a self-taught guitarist, and he taught a lot of other people in the gospel community. how to play guitar, and he was many times the president of the quartet union here and nationally a couple times. By day, he was a truck driver, but he was a real giant in our community, really beloved. The Religious Five, over the years, it produced more preachers than any other group. So it had a lot of great singers, but also a lot of great preachers. And they really, really are an important part of our legacy here. And so we're going to go with For a Long Time has one of the most incredible skits in the middle of it, as you'll hear.
You may run on for a long time,
run on for a long time,
run on just dodging and dodging every day. You're gonna
find it, gonna cut.
You may run on. Let me tell you the news. My head been filled with the midnight dews. Falling down on my bending knees. Talking to the man of Galilee. Spoke to me, spoke so sweet. I thought I heard a shuffling of angels' feet. Place one hand upon my hip. And let me tell you, church, this is what he said. Go. Verse, I want you to listen good. Some people go to church to signify, trying to make a date with the neighbor's wife. Brother, let me tell you, sure as you're born, you better leave that woman alone. One of these old days, mark my word, you think that brother has gone to work. Now here you come sneaking up to knock on the door, and this is what's going to happen. Brother David's knock on the door.
No, Brother Young, I'm not going to knock. I'm going to let Brother Ralph knock.
Okay, Brother Ralph, go ahead and knock. Let him know what happened.
No, Brother Young, I don't think I'm going to knock neither.
Who going to knock?
I can't knock.
Why can't
you? Woman
got
a man in there.
Have?
Yeah, and I seen him the other day.
Where you see him at?
Down at the pawn shop.
Doing what at the pawn shop?
Getting out his old double-barrel shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting out his shotgun.
Something wrong.
And when he knock on the inside with it, it'll sure come on the outside with you.
Somebody got a knock, though.
Oh, we got a man to knock.
Who is that?
Brother Garnett.
Who is that?
Honey, hasn't that man gone yet?
That's home, brother. You knock no more. You may run no.
Ah!
The Singing Sons, is that plural or it's singular on the track there?
Singular. It's just one guy, yeah.
The Singing Son of Zion.
Yep.
At Sinner's Crossroads, we practice, we are of the doctrine of label inerrancy. So, you know, whatever is on the label is what it is. It's what it is. We don't need to playlist a revised standard version or worse. So, Singing Son of Zion. Singing Son of Zion.
Steal away.
Man, three great standards.
Though. Those are good standards, right?
that's the Tindley composition, right? Magnificent recording. And two more tracks from I'm Glad About It, The Legacy of Gospel Music in Louisville, Kentucky, of course, 1958 to 1981. It's just a beautiful box set, four CDs, a big chunk of book with essays and biographies, an annotated track listing, and really putting these gospel tunes from Louisville in their proper context. It's really super enlightening. All kinds of things, all kinds of adjectives, Darcy, Brother Darcy, that I could put onto this. But is there anything you wanted to add about those two tracks?
Well, the second track there, The Singing Son of Zion, that was a guy by the name of Shelby Bransford Jr. He was from Horse Cave, Kentucky, which is right by Mammoth Cave, which is our Kentucky's one national park, you know, largest cave in the world. And his family kin to a long line of Bransfords that are the very earliest explorers of Mammoth Cave, dating back to the earliest Bransford that explored it were actually enslaved.
Really? No kidding.
And to this day, there's a Bransford who gives tours at Mammoth Cave.
No way.
But he started singing and doing music down there, but moved to Louisville. And actually, at one time, was a member of the Religious Five who did the previous song. This recording was made as a solo artist for Joe Thomas's label, Sensational Sounds. It sounds like it could be from like 1920, but it's like like 1971, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to play that in part because he died tragically in a work accident over 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But his widow, Essie Bransford, just passed away yesterday. So that one goes out to her. And it was great to meet her through the course of doing this project.
Man, very poignant, but also very beautiful. But there are moments like this all through this set in the music and in the essays and the liner notes. But to tell you, you're tuned to Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt, and your host. And this evening, our wonderful, wonderful guest, Brother Darcy Thompson of the Louisville Story Project. And reminder that not only is Darcy here this week, he will be back next week as we delve further into this set. Be sure either order directly or from your favorite local independent record store. And once again, at WFMU.org, you can click on playlists and comments. And immediately on the playlist, you'll see links to the set and other relevant information. And also, I'm sure you were getting helpful comments from the Gospel Knuckleheads on the comments board, as they are always present. What are we going to be hearing next?
The Antioch Majestic Voices, Peace Unto My Soul.
I found a blessed Savior.
He's a God. The Traveling Echoes, the Ridley Family, one of my all-time favorite gospel groups, featured on a gospel set highlighting tonight on Sinner's Crossroads, the Louisville Story Programs. I'm glad about it, of course, the legacy of gospel music in Louisville, 1958 to 1981. We've been singing the praises of this marvelous set with our guest, Brother Darcy Thompson from Louisville, of course. And could you, you want to tell us about some more stuff about, some more information about the two tracks we just heard?
Well, the first track was from the Antioch Majestic Voices, and that was a group formed in 1966 by a man named James Samuels, who's the music director at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. And it was a choir designed for young people aged about 14 to 28. And they traveled all around, sang a bunch, sang at prisons and things like that, like so many groups did. And they were continuously a separate choir there until 2003, and when they merged with the mass choir. So they only ever did 145, but it's a really amazing one. We actually put both sides on the set here.
All right.
And then the second track, as you said, was the Ridley family, James, Laura, and Betty Jo Ridley, the Traveling Echoes. That name came from Laura was one of the founding members of one of our most legendary groups called the Golden Echoes. And her husband was from a group called the Traveling Something. But they took the Traveling and the Echoes from those groups.
Oh, okay.
And their daughter, Betty Jo, played guitar. And Laura actually wrote that song. And they were really one of the, as far as I could tell, there was no one from Louisville doing it the way they were doing it, like in the 50s, as far as like really touring all over the country,
yeah,
and really making a lot of recordings on, like, for a lot of national labels and stuff, for Jewel especially.
Yeah.
That recording was from a tiny label, but most of their output's from national labels. So they yes, really had a great legacy, and they ended up eventually moving to South Bend, Indiana, where Mr. Reverend Ridley pastored a church. And,
yes.
And the group ended when Laura passed away suddenly in 1970. And that last record is actually called In Memory of Laura. But they were really, really remarkable group.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was Laura on lead, right? She could sing. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the vocal style that she has. And then even though it's, some people would say it's very simple or rudimentary or whatever, that type of guitar accompaniment, mm-hmm, that I guess an open tuning or whatever, but the man, it's funky.
Yeah.
I love that. And I just assumed it was James that was playing the guitar, I guess, because the cover of, he's holding a guitar on, I guess, one of the Jewel albums.
Maybe,
Yeah.
Well, maybe he played some too, but I know that, at least I forget where in the research, but some writer notes or something talked about Betty Jo playing guitar.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool.
But Laura was actually an early member of the, you know, arguably two of the most famous quartets in Louisville. The two most famous ones that never recorded, actually, the Carnation Quintet and the Golden Echoes. And those predated her times with this group. So she was a little older when they formed the family group, the
Echoes. Yeah.
And Betty Jo was old enough to play with them. And I don't think James is her dad. I think she, just age-wise, I think.
Most of the information that you just told us is in the fine essays and the liner notes to that accompanies the CD. And you know, I love the photograph on the cover of the book, that it's in the kitchen and probably part of the living room of the group. I guess they're rehearsing, right?
That's right. And that's not just any group. The guy on the microphone there was the WBO heavyweight champion of the world, boxer,
Jimmy Ellis. Wow.
And they were making records while he was the heavyweight champ. You know, he's one of three champs we have, the most famous being Muhammad Ali, of course, and they were very close. He was Ali's sparring partner for 10 years.
Yeah.
And his father was the pastor of Riverview Baptist Church here. The Riverview Spiritual Singers have a really great legacy. And Jimmy's wife, Mary, was unbelievable singer, and really so many folks in that group, and they're still around today, kind of a family group. His wife's brother would play guitar and all that, so all the original members are gone, but the group still exists with family ties to the original group. But yeah, so this is Jimmy's house on the cover, and it's a very, you don't find photos like this very often, so we're grateful that his family even had this and let us use it on the cover.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Really about highlights the context and the communities of which this great gospel music came from. I will say, you're tuned to Sinner's Crossroads broadcast, gospel broadcast. You're tuned to Sinner's Crossroads on listener-supported Freeform WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt, and we've been joined by this evening by Darcy Thompson of the Louisville Story Program project that has just released, I'm going to say just released, 4-CD set, a survey of gospel music 1958 to 1961 that came out of Louisville, Kentucky. She's got a one song. And again, please check out our playlist and comments page, WFMU.org, of course, where there are links to the Louisville Story Program. And much more information, not much more information, but auxiliary information to I'm Glad About It. Darcy, we have time for one more tune. I want to thank you for being here, but we're just pausing this because we're going to be back next week and we're going to pick up the story and fill in stuff that we forgot, that I forgot, and or I mangled the language. I usually get, and especially so tonight, I get so absorbed in this topic and listening to you talk, I forget all the other stuff I'm supposed to be doing. And
well, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. And Darcy will join us next week for part two. Tell your friends and neighbors, post it on the socials. And we have one more time for one more song. I usually don't back announce the last song. I like to have a little mystery in the radio show. Or there's collectors who call up like, why don't you ever play the whole song? You know, I'm trying to record it here. You know, and then now you don't post it on the playlist. What's going on? But lots of information on this one.
I'm a compulsive context provider, as you have noticed.
Yes. I ain't going to fade out. I ain't going to do it.
All right. That's the Green Street Baptist Church Youth Choir. He's All Right.
Stay tuned to WFMU, brothers and sisters and beloved. And be sure to tune in next week for part two of our programs with Darcy Thompson and the Louisville Story Program Gospel Survey. I'm glad about it. I hope you've been glad about it. I'm glad about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kevin. That was a special Sinner's Crossroads show. Your radio dial is tuned to 91.1 FM WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org, and serving Simeon Valley, West Bonobo, Bonettaville, Tennessee, Kokomo County, the Isle of Capuchin, and Kroger and Kroger. See, it worked when you put your hand over the last part of the reed. It really works. Works out good.
Hold it, hold it, hold it. Richard, you got it on record. We don't want to do this doggone thing this time and it not be on record.
Hi, this is David. Well, here we go again.
You're tuned to Music to Spaz By with Dave the Spaz on listener-supported WFMU East Orange. If you'd like to set your watch, the correct Music to Spaz By time is exactly half past the monkey's ass.
Open up! It's Joe Besser!
Is there a hurricane horn?
You got that dog closed again, huh?
Do you have yourself on mute?
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave? I'm entitled to an answer to that question. Look, Dave. I can see you're really upset about this.
I think he realizes that.
I honestly think you ought to sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over.
Rockin', rockin'. Before the evening is over, I will have made a complete total fool of myself. I hope you get a kick out of watching it.
Now, wow. Wow. Wow, wow.
Well, they talk about a splish-splash, oh, I'm dark too. Well, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. Well, I'm gonna tell you about a boppin' and a hoppin', boppin' and a hoppin', boppin' and a hoppin' at my front door. So come on, pretty baby, to my front door house. Well, bobbin' and a hoppin', bobbin' and a hoppin', bobbin' and a hoppin' at my front door. Well, all the kids around my neighborhood used to try to dance if they only could. Well, they'd all get together on Saturday night and dance, 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 dancing all night. Well, bobbin' and a hoppin', bobbin' and a hoppin', bobbin' and a hoppin' at, yeah. As long as we played up, everything's square. Well, now everybody's happy and having fun. And now my front door party's just begun. Well, bobbin' and a hoppin', bobbin' and a hoppin', bobbin' and a hoppin' at my front door. Well, rockin' and a rollin', bobbin' and a stolen. Come on, baby, let's go. Yeah, I said rockin' and a rollin', bobbin' and a stolen. Come on, baby, let's go. Well, then you're rockin' and then you're rollin'.